Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife Annette and I.
Okay, Bill, today the question is, can't God just create another place for man to go besides hell? I mean, he is Almighty God. Why can't he do that, like an intermediary type of place?
That's a good question. But first of all, no, he can't. You know, when God completed creation, he said in Genesis 2:1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." So he is not going to create another place now because he said it was finished then. His word never changes, as Psalms 89:34 and Psalms 119:89 states. So he cannot alter his word and create a new place now. Also, remember, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels and not for man, Matthew 25:41 explains. So it's not God's will for anyone to go to hell. But because he loves us, he gives man the free will to choose.
Exactly. And however, Bill, he did create another place, and it's called heaven.
That's right.
You know, he does go and prepare a place for us. It says that in John 14:2. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Well, that's a good verse. He is preparing a place for us. You know, also, the main reason he would not make another place is because sin must be punished, and hell is a justifiable punishment in God's eyes. Now, the reason people ask this question is because they want to see a place that does not contain the severity of hell. However, a place less severe cannot exist. You see, hell is horrific because God's attributes and his goodness have been removed. So all the good we experience is only because of God.
That's so true. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And Psalms 33:5 also states, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord."
Right. So if you remove God from the situation, all the good goes with him.
You know, Bill, in eternity, it is either extremely blissful with God or a person has an extremely horrific time without him. I mean, there is no in between. So there really is no soul sleep. There's no annihilation, no reincarnation, and no purgatory. There are only two eternal destinations.
That's right.
I mean, people cannot pray their dead loved one out of hell.
No.
You know, after they die, that is it, according to the word of God.
Right. We'll look at some scriptures in just a minute. But, you know, this was making me think about purgatory. So many believe in purgatory. You know, I was raised Catholic as a child, and it was the common practice in the Catholic Church to light a candle for the poor souls in purgatory. That's what we were told. So, in other words, you would pay a dollar, and you would light a candle, and it would lessen their years in this place called purgatory. Purgatory, they say, was a place of temporal punishment, and then they eventually are let out of there and then go to heaven. So as you light a candle, the more candles you light, the less years that they would have to endure in this place called purgatory. So, I mean, that's so ridiculous because, first of all, there is no in-between place. There's only heaven and hell, number one. There is no purgatory. But number two, what would lighting a candle have to do with that lessening someone's years anyway?
I know, but it made more money,
it made
right?
Money.
A dollar per candle.
Right.
That is so sad.
Diabolical plan that they had.
It really is, and it deceives people.
Right. I don't know if they still have that today, but they did when I was growing up.
Yeah, I know. I've been in services where they've prayed for the dead, you know, going to a Catholic service. Sadly,
right.
They still at times do that,
mm-hmm.
and it's completely false and misleading to people.
Right. It's useless. It doesn't do any good to pray for the dead.
No.
Your eternal destination is fixed once you leave this earth. But listen to these verses that state there are only two places after we die. Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, "These shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." The same word everlasting is the word aionios. So just as heaven is everlasting, so is hell everlasting. Matthew 13:30 says, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. See, there's only two groups of people and two places. Matthew 13:48-49 says, and gather the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So again, see, two groups of people and two places. Mark 16:15 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Two groups, two places. And one more verse, Acts 24:15 says, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust.
Those are great verses, and four out of five of those, Jesus is speaking himself.
That's right.
You know, as you said, there's only two groups of people and two destinations.
That's right. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 23:33 to the most religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In other words, you can't escape it. So that's very clear. Then in Revelation 14:10-11, it says, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. So this is the people that enter hell. There is no escape. So that's refutes this
purgatory. Sure.
Right. Then Jesus also said in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So he just told us the wicked will go to the same place as the devil, and it will be everlasting. And then he defined everlasting as forever and ever in Revelation 20:10. It further emphasizes that if you read that verse. But anyway, so these four verses alone, Revelation 14:10-11, Matthew 25:41, and 25:46, and Revelation 20:10, refute universalism and make it clear there's only two places.
Those are great references. You know, it is difficult though, Bill. You know, I know for people to think people are suffering in hell for all eternity. But I know in questioning God's reasons, we then place ourselves on a higher moral plane than God himself.
That's right.
And the Bible says that God and his ways are perfect. Psalms 19:7-8, Psalms 119, verse 75, 89, and 128 all state that. And we have no right to find fault with God.
That's right.
I mean, he made a way for us to spend eternity with him when there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may recoil at a fiery eternal hell, but we know his ways are just. You know, and in Revelation 19:2, it says, for true and righteous are his judgments. And verse 11 says that in righteousness, he does judge and make war. And Revelation 16:5 states, thou art righteous, O Lord, because thou hast judged thus.
That's right. He is a just God. No one will be in hell unjustly.
Exactly. And I think some of this just steeps where people think, why can't God create another place for people, you know, that's not as bad as hell? I think a lot of times we really don't understand the severity of the cross and what Jesus went through.
Right. Exactly. You know, because of the severity of hell, there have been many who no longer hold to the traditional and scriptural view of an eternal punishment. In their minds, they have formed a God who could never allow such suffering. What they fail to realize is that God is also holy and just, and sin must be punished, and eternal punishment is justifiable if you understand how much God hates sin.
I know, and God does hate sin. In the scripture, it's so clear. He hates it enough, though, to punish his son severely for it on the cross. If sin wasn't so horrific, then God, you know, he could have arranged it so that Jesus was hit over the head and killed, killed another way. But he, you know, he had him endure such terrible suffering because sin is exceedingly sinful to God, as it states in Romans 7:13.
Right. So it may seem extreme about the severity of hell, but we also have to look at how extreme his mercy is. He will take a person to heaven after an entire life of wickedness, even if at their last breath they ask him for forgiveness and receive him as their Lord and Savior. You know, look at the thief on the cross. So he is extremely merciful and gives people a lifetime to repent. His long-suffering is overwhelming, as the Bible mentions in Romans 2:4, Romans 9:22, and in 2 Peter 3:9.
Those are great verses. I know sometimes people go, I can't believe how great God's love is, which is so true. But what goes with that is his long suffering, you know, which in 1 Corinthians 13, it says love is patient. Talk right. about patience God has
right.
with mankind.
He sends people across their path their entire lives. You know, you've got the TV, internet, radio, CDs, missionaries all sent around the world. He even gives man dreams and vision to keep back his soul from the pit. Job 33, it states.
That's how merciful.
So he goes to great lengths to keep people out of hell.
Yeah, he's so merciful.
That's
he's
right.
so good. I know, Bill, I think people still have in their mind why God can't create another place is because they think he's all powerful. And really, in the scripture, they don't realize God actually limits himself by his word.
Right.
He will only do what he said. He's not like man who is flaky and
right.
changes his mind and doesn't keep his word.
Right.
He will do what he says, plus... Like you were saying, you know, he's so long suffering.
Right.
We don't understand how severe the cross is, you know.
Right, and he finished all the creation he was going to do in Genesis 2:1. So he cannot create anything. He limits himself by his own word.
Exactly, and then why would Jesus die such a horrific death, you know,
right.
and so severe?
Right, exactly. And
for
and
somebody
also,
to just, you know, work their time off in an intermediary place like purgatory.
Exactly.
You know, they'd be working off their sin.
Right. And again, any place he made, if he withdrew his goodness or his attributes, it's horrible because all good comes from him. So people have to realize it's not automatic, all this good. They think it's Mother Nature. No, it's all from Father God. So there's no place he can create without his goodness other than hell. He removes his goodness, and that's what's left.
That's it. That's good. That's right. good. That's how extreme the opposite is, being
right.
away from God. You know, and I know, Bill, it's, like you said, he tells us plainly how to get to heaven. He warns us clearly of where we will go if we reject Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Right.
You know, and you use this verse a lot, and I think it's so good, is Revelation 21:8, but the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. It's a choice to believe or not believe.
Right.
And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
One way.
So if a person says, you know, I don't believe that, well, then you just condemn yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37 that your own words will condemn you because a person says, I don't believe Jesus is the only way. Well, why would any rational person believe their unfounded opinion over God's word? You know, heaven is his house, and if we want to live there, we must adhere to his directions for how to arrive there. And these are just three verses that give us the directions, John 3:36, Acts 17:30, and Romans 10:9-10. Very clear.
So clear. And Bill, you know, if we sin, and all of us, of course, are guilty of that, we are separated from him forever. So we can't have the good without God.
Right.
And we need to be reconciled to him if we ever want to experience his goodness.
That's right. Now, he has provided for that reconciliation through his son. Many verses explain that. So the decision of where we will spend our eternity is in our hands. Now, if you don't want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then there is only one place prepared for you to spend your eternity. So I encourage you to choose wisely.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.